gonna, there we go. We're gonna transition from here. I'd like everyone to look around, look at your neighbor, and say, hey, are you 6 feet away from me? Just kidding. Some of the kids are like, I wish my sibling would be 6 feet away from me. Sometimes I wish my dog would be 6 feet away from me, but no. No, that would be a lie. I love him. I don't need notes today. We're going to pretend like I do. Everybody doing well? We all still live and kicking, and yeah. So Natalie and Caleb, I haven't seen you guys in a while since this whole thing started. It's really good to see you. I've seen a lot of Dave and Sue. Haven't seen you guys either. Really good to see you. Yes, we did. We did, and we waved, and that was wonderful. I saw Elisa last night for the first time in a while, so that was good. I miss just being with all of you. Everybody outside, I did look out the door and saw you. I wanted to make sure I stayed 60 feet away. I'm kidding. I wanted to say hello and welcome. Glad that everyone is here. I can't wait until we can all be in here. It's coming very soon. I do have a quick word I need to share before I share the word. I was sitting in my seat a minute ago, and I pulled out my phone to look at the calendar just based on what Ben had said. And last week, I talked a little bit about the day of Pentecost, and I think that was last week. It was either last week or 2 weeks ago. Day of Pentecost is May 31st this year, and I believe something really significant in the body of Christ we're going to see. And I think I have a feeling I know some of what that is. I did find out through some investigation called Google that the churches in California, I'd heard rumors of various churches rising up and saying enough is enough, we're going to meet, because they're being told they will not be able to meet till after July. So at the end of July, that it's possible they may get to meet at that point. There's other talks that they may not be able to until 2021, which is, in my opinion, absurd. But whatever, everybody can have their own opinion. So that's mine, and I have a microphone, so you get to hear it. There was a bunch of rumors floating around that these certain amount of churches were just going to have church anyway, and that that had already taken place, and it has not. There is over 3,000 churches in California right now, and I can't tell you what cities, because I don't know, but there's over 3,000 churches that are now saying, if by the day of Pentecost, which is May 31st, we are not able to meet, we are meeting anyway. Even some of the authorities, sheriffs, I saw the Riverside sheriff said, if the churches meet, we're not going to do anything about it. We are not enforcing what we were told. And that was on record that a sheriff said that. Anyway, I'm not saying that is what I was sensing, though I think that does have some to do with a shift and a stirring taking place in the body of Christ coming May 31st. So, all of that to say this, March 22nd was the first Sunday that we actually had to shift and start meeting via Facebook Live almost exclusively. We were able to have 10 people in here, and everything kind of changed March 22nd, which I was just looking at, like I said, a calendar. I heard the Lord say, I am birthing something through this process. Not saying that God caused any of this to take place, because I don't believe that, but I do believe that he uses all things for good for those who are called, who love him and are called according to his purpose. But March 22nd is when this started. The first trimester, first 3 months, would end June 21, would be the three-month period. June 21st is, well, it's my anniversary, but it's also Father's Day, which both are significant. But I believe that there is a something shifting as well, June 21st. Then the sixth month or the second trimester would be September, the third week in September. And then the last or the birthing process would actually be Christmas. Yeah, so I don't think it's December 25th, but right there, maybe the 23rd or 24th, somewhere in there. I don't remember what date I looked at, but 9 months from March 22nd is Christmas time. So I feel like that's significant. Again, I don't have the fullness of what all that is. I just know when I start hearing the Lord share some things with me, I, again, have a microphone and I can share them back. We're going to go to John 21, and then we're also going to jump over to John 4 a little. I may, for sake of time, I may just tell you the story of John 4. I don't know. So we're definitely going to go to John 21. I'm going to reference John 4, maybe read it. I don't know yet. So I want to pray. We're going to read the first 17 verses of John 21 and go from there. So, Father, thank you that, Lord, things are shifting. Our attention, our focus is on you. I believe the enemy wants us to see the downside of everything going on, but we choose right now to see the good that you're bringing out of things, Lord, because I believe what the enemy means for harm, you turn it and you change it for good. And so we're choosing to see the good in what you're doing in this time and in this season. Lord, help us not to lose focus of that and miss what you're doing or what you're saying. I pray anointing upon this word. Open our ears and open our hearts to receive it, to hear it, to put it in place in our lives and to see change happen. We thank you. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I am going to read the first 17 verses of John 21. You can follow along. I'm going to read it out of the New King James. I was going to read it out of the Passion, but there's a reason I want to read this way. So John 21, verse 1, it says, after these things, so Jesus is now resurrected, just so you know. He's been showing himself to people, and so here we go, John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. That night, they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for
they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, which is about 100 yards, just so you know, dragging the net with fish. Then, as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And altogether, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he had raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Lots of verses. I recognize and realize there is a lot to this story. There is a whole backstory. There's a whole reason why all these things are happening. I just want to touch on a few things and establish a couple of things in this. Firstly, the disciples were obviously kind of spinning out a little bit, trying to figure out, like, none of this made a lot of sense to them, what was happening with Jesus. They had in their minds that Jesus was going to establish the kingdom of God in a totally different way. They foresaw the overthrowing of Rome, the establishing of Israel in a position of power, you know, not being under the thumb of Rome. And that's kind of the understanding that they all were operating in. They were somewhat spinning out because their leader was now, you know, dead. They had heard, some of them had seen him, and they had heard different rumors of him showing himself to all these people. And they were just sort of like in this place of going, we're not sure what to do. So Peter does what any good fisherman would do, go fishing, right? Like, this is what he knew. This is what his whole life was all about leading up to this point. Now, listen, to understand this, most scholars say that the disciples that were fishermen, including Peter, would have been generational fishermen. In other words, they weren't just like picking this up as a trade. It would have been passed down for generations, and it's the way that they received their boats and their nets and, you know, various things, their trade. These were talented, gifted fishermen. And if you were to put this in like a fishing, you know, sport fishing idea, the difference between a professional fisherman or even a set netter or whatever, a professional fisherman versus a, you know, someone who's doing it for sport or for hobby or whatever is, the professional knows how to catch fish when the amateur doesn't, even in conditions that are not conducive for catching fish. Even when everybody else isn't catching fish, the professional knows what to look for, where to set things, what kind of bait to use, where to cast, you know, all those things where an amateur does not. My point is this. If for no other reason, they should have had some measure of success based upon the ability of generational fishermen in the boat. They should have had some sort of success. So here's my point in saying that. It was the grace of God that kept them from having success, going back to the thing that they knew that was familiar. I share this part with you because I think it's super crucial that when God pushes a reset button and begins to set us on a different course, the tendency will be, this is not super comfortable. I think we should go back to what we know that we had some measure of success in and make this our journey instead of allowing the reset to take place and take us in an area that maybe we're not super comfortable with, or maybe it doesn't look like we're having this great success of. Does that make sense? So I'm personally positioning myself and my heart to be able to recognize, like, if maybe, just to use the story, if maybe I'm used to throwing my net on the left side of the boat, that if God tells me to pick it out and throw it on the right side of the boat, that's what I'm going to do. In fishing, that doesn't make a lot of sense, because if there's fish on the right side, there's going to be fish on the left side. But more than likely, unless you're weird. But okay, I'm going to take this story just a little bit further in this fishing thing. So they're out there in the midst of fishing, trying to be successful in something. I want to make this clear as well that if you have leadership on your life, like, that's something that, which we all do to some measure, all of us are called to be leaders in various ways. But if there is a call, an anointing on your life to lead, it doesn't matter what direction you go, people will follow. In other words, Peter decided to go in a direction that was opposite of what God had told him. Remember when he first met Jesus and Jesus said, I am now going to make you fishers of men? Like, he pulled the profession from him in a sense and said, I am now changing your course for your life. When things went sideways, Peter went a different direction and everybody else was like, sounds good to me, let's go. And followed him, though he was going in a wrong direction. So when Jesus tells them, hey guys, you have any fish? Some translations say, do you have any fish? Some say, King James says, do you have any meat? The one we just read says, do you have any food? Meaning, did you have anything, have you caught any fish yet? And so they were saying, no, we have not been successful. We've been here all night, haven't caught anything. Jesus says, try adding my word to what you're doing and watch what happens. Take your nets out, throw them on the right side, and see. Yeah, just what Sage was saying earlier. If you do this, I'll do this. They could have went, are you kidding? Like, really? We know what we're doing. Our nets have been out. We've been soaking our nets. We know what we're doing. We know that if they're over here, they're going to be over here. Instead, they responded. So watch this. They respond to the Lord. They throw their nets on the right side. It says that their nets were so full. I've often wondered, anybody else read this story and gone, why 153? Like, what? There is a significance to 153, but here's the significance in this story. 153, it says, by all rights, it should have broke their nets. Because it says, there were so many, even though there were so many fish, 153, their nets were not broken. In other words, they were beyond the limitation of what that net should have been able to grab a hold of. Now watch this. Peter is, well, let's go back, actually, First John. And they don't say John. They say the disciple who Jesus loved, right? That's how the story says. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to who? Who did he talk to? Peter, right? There were six other disciples on that boat. For whatever reason, he looked at Peter. It didn't say he addressed everyone. I'm not saying everybody didn't hear, but it didn't say he addressed everybody. He looked at Peter and said, Peter, it is the Lord. I'm going to come back to that in a second. So Peter girds himself with his outer cloth. Some translations say because he was naked. But it says in this one he had taken it off. put himself back together. He jumps overboard and he swims away from the very thing he was trying to do initially. He was trying to do something, had no success. When success came, he actually left the success, moved toward the Lord, gets up on the beach. Watch this. The very thing that was in his net is now on the bank, but it's prepared, right? It's not raw, it's cooked. And Jesus allowed him then to go and help the other disciples pull up the very thing he was looking for. Now, here's why this is all important and why I'm sharing all this with you. The one who Jesus loved, right? That's what it says. The one who Jesus loved recognized it was the Lord. So the one who Jesus loved, the one who was secure in how Jesus felt about him, his position with Jesus, looked at the one who was struggling the most with how Jesus must have felt about him. If you read John 18, just a couple chapters back, the last encounter that Peter had with Jesus was around a fire that their eyes locked. Peter had denounced Jesus three times. The third time, Jesus, looking at Peter, heard Peter say, "I don't even know this guy. Like, I don't know who he is, don't know what you're talking about." This was the last encounter that Peter had with Jesus. So Peter is reeling in this place of going, "I don't know how Jesus actually feels about me and all my shortcomings and all my failings and all my junk." So the one who was positioned to go, "I know how Jesus feels about me," looks at the one who was struggling and says, "It is the Lord." Peter, going, "I'm not going to miss this opportunity this time," runs away from the thing he was trying to do to get to the one who he wasn't sure how he felt about him. Now, here's where John 4 comes into all this. And I will tie all this together here in one sec. John 4. Jesus is headed from Judea to Galilee. If you look historically, the Jewish people, when they went from Judea to Galilee or Galilee to Judea, the straightest line was through Samaria. But they didn't get along very well. So the Jewish people typically went way out of their way. Like they would walk a week. It would take them a week longer to walk their route to go around Samaria because they did not want to go through Samaria. In John chapter 4, it's verse 2 or 3, Jesus is saying, "I must go to Galilee and I need to go through Samaria." It actually says, some translations say, "I have to go through Samaria." So he's taking the route that mostly they don't go. They do sometimes, but mostly they don't take this route. Jesus ends up at Jacob's well. A woman comes there. It's noon, so it's hot. Nobody's around typically. This woman who had been married a bunch of times shows up. Jesus has a word of knowledge over her, speaks to her. She gets radically saved, goes into the town, tells everybody, "Come meet Jesus. He's the man who told me everything about myself." They come, town gets saved. Hallelujah. Wonderful story. End of the story. Jesus is there. His disciples come back because his disciples had left. His disciples come back and they bring him food because they figure he's got to be hungry by now. So they come to him and they say, "Jesus, you need to eat something." Here's what Jesus says. "I have food that you don't know about." And they're like, "Somebody give him something while we were gone? Like, how did Jesus eat?" And they kind of push the issue a little bit, and Jesus says this, "My food is to do the will of the Father who sent me and to finish it," or to complete it. The Passion Translation says, "to bring it to completion." So Here's the question that Jesus asked his disciples. Hey guys, are you doing the will of the Father and are you finishing it? Do you have any food? This would have been, I believe, what they would have heard when Jesus said, hey guys, got any food? In the King James, it says, do you have any meat? Because, again, John 4 in the King James says, my meat is to do the will of the Father and to complete it, or to do it, bring it to the finished work. Jesus is setting them up to answer or respond to a question in their heart of not are you being successful in what you're doing in the eyes of men, not are you your nets like filled up with fish. No, are you doing what God called you to do? Here's why this is important to me, and it should be important to you. As much as I am frustrated with wanting to be back together in full numbers, not worried about how close we are to each other, not worried about whether or not you have the Rona or I do or I don't, you know, all that junk. Or looking at, you know, this is unconstitutional and those things. Though I am, I do believe you need to stand when it's time to stand. I believe that we can get so lost in all of that stuff that we miss what God is telling us. Are you doing what I called you to do and bringing it to completion? Or are you so focused on this is injustice and I'm not being treated right and I think we should do this and everybody should rise up and take control and, you know, all these things. Again, if that's what God's telling you to do, have at it. I'm telling you, though, that the Lord warned me in this place that my heart was getting off track to the point that I was becoming so focused on, God, how should I, what point do I say this is the breaking point? This is done. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm just going to, you know, I get put in jail, whatever, you know, all those things that go through my mind. Maybe they don't go through yours, but they go through mine. And I get on this track that I start thinking things like, first of all, basing success on how full can we get our nets, right? Versus, is my ear attentive to the one who I know how he feels about me, not based upon what I'm doing or what I'm not doing, not based upon what I'm saying or not saying, not based upon what's currently happening in my life or your life or anyone else's life, but based upon what he said. He told me he loves me. He told me he's for me. He told me he's going to always bring good out of the situations that are going on, even if they don't feel good, even if they don't look good, even if they don't start out good, they will shift for the good of me or you or whoever we are that are loved and called according to his purpose. So in that regard, if I lose track of that, no matter how much fish, sticking with the story, I have in the net, I can never measure my success based on any of the religiosity that goes on in our lives. We must learn. This was really cool as I was reading this story. Jesus is there on the bank. He's cooking fish. The very thing that Peter was trying to get anyway. Prepared fish for he and Peter. Because if you really interesting that he didn't actually lose anything. He gained his position with Jesus, and as encountering Jesus, he turns and actually ends up with the entire catch of way, but not because he stayed there and went, Jesus, I'll be in as soon as we get all these fish in the boat. You know, we give me just a second, we'll paddle in. He's like, forget this. I'm going after Jesus. And whether that net ever reaches the shore for me personally, I could care less. I want him. This is how we must position our hearts, especially in this time, that we don't lose focus of encountering him. I believe that we have been set up for an opportunity to be able to seek him in our homes, in our personal lives, in ways that we've never been never before, that we could encounter him in our homes, in our personal lives, if we would learn to push the busyness out of the way, encounter him, allow him to do what he wants to do in us, and see the shift take place. Not when everything gets back to normal, not when everything, we can finally be back together, then I can have my life back with Jesus and all that. That is a terrible way to look at things. We need to take advantage every day of what's in front of us. And again, I recognize that not everybody, their lives have not changed for like, oh, I got all this free time now. I recognize that some people are actually more busy than they were before this all happened. So I'm not taking away from that. I'm just saying our focus and our attention, and this is me personally, I have spent way too much time seeing what the enemy, the devastation, the destruction, the lies, all this stuff that we get bogged down with, that I'm missing the sight of what God's doing over here. Because I'm worried about how does the church continue, and how are we going to fill our nets with more fish, and how are we going to, you know, do all these things, and how can we, and all the while, right over here, Jesus has the whole solution all figured out. And it may not look like we want it to look, and it may seem like we're sort of turning away from something that could be successful to go after the one who is success. Sometimes it's based on not knowing that we're loved, not knowing that our status with him has not changed based upon our success or our failure, based upon whether we denied him or didn't deny him. You understand? None of those things determine how he feels about me, but yet we work in order to try to make sure that we're in right standing with him constantly, trying to make sure we got all these things in place. Especially, to be completely honest, there is a big pressure on pastors to ensure that, you know, you've got to try to fill every seat, you got to try to do this, you got to try to do that, and if you don't, then you're not being successful and you're not doing what you're called to do. My opinion, and I believe I can prove this biblically, my job is to host him and to encounter him and to carry what he hands to me and to steward it the way that he's called me to steward it, not to ensure that the nets are full, right? He said that he builds the church, not me. So if I'm trying to be successful based upon anything other than my direct relationship with him and ushering you into that same ability when we're together, teaching you and bringing you into a place where it's like, it's kind of a weird analogy, I think, but it's like I view myself as sort of setting a ball on a tee and stepping back and letting you smack it. Instead of hoping that you hit a fastball somebody pitches, I want to take and show you how to set that ball in a place where it's like the encounter is there, all you got to do is step into it. right? That's a whole lot easier than trying to teach you how to hit somebody's curveball. Like, nope, no curveball, it's Jesus. Nope, you don't need to do that, it's Jesus. Nope, you don't need to pretend, it's Jesus. Nope, you don't need to, it's Jesus. You don't need to worry about whether you're the greatest evangelist that ever lived. It's Jesus. You don't need to worry about if you are called to be this or called to be that. You're called to be with Him. And being with Him will determine every success in your life. Am I called to work? Am I called to this? Am I called to Jesus? Let me set that ball on the tee. You smack it and watch what happens. Does that make sense? Because it makes a lot of sense to me. I wish I would have understood this years ago. Nobody's fault. It's my own fault for not grabbing a hold of this. But the revelation that I feel like the Lord is bringing in this time right now to me personally, learning to push all the distraction and all the... God gave me a wife for a good reason, because I have to be... I'm tattling on myself, but I found myself walking around stores sometimes, looking at all the people wearing masks, and me going, this is so stupid, I can't believe this, how stupid is this, and man, you know, you're just doing, oh my gosh, and you know what I'm not doing? Lord, is there anyone that you want me to encounter in here today? God, is there something that you have for me in this place? Do you have a word you want me to share? Do you want me to not even be in this store? I don't know, but instead I find myself grumbling. Oh my gosh, so stupid. You see that dumb sign? You ain't coming in this store unless you got a mask on. Watch me, right? I mean, that... and I don't want to be in a spirit of rebellion. So, yeah. So my wife says, yeah, honey, you know, you're really focused on everybody else, you know? You hear yourself. She's like, would you stop? All I hear is you, nah, this is dumb. I'm like, I said that out loud? Oh my gosh. 100% honest. I'm like, oh my gosh, sometimes I need to learn to close this trap. And I just need to learn to close this, because my mind makes this come out sometimes. But anyway, I just, point being, I just want to not miss Him. I don't want to miss Him because I'm grumbling and irritated and frustrated over something that there's no reason to be. If people want to do those things, they're going to do them. And if the government wants to drag their feet, they're going to drag their feet. But, you know, we can. I need to do a little sidebar, though, because I need you to understand something that I am. I know I already said this a little bit. I firmly believe that there comes a point that if we're listening to Him and He says enough is enough, that we do what He tells us to do. Do you understand? So I'm not advocating for just laying down and letting the government do whatever the government wants to do. I'm also not advocating for just going, well, you know, let's throw the Constitution away and we're not going to worry about that. My whole goal, though, is to have my ear and my heart attentive to what He tells me to do. And if He says, you know, it's no different than the underground church in China. If they were doing what the government told them to do, there would be no... So I'm not trying to take away from that. I'm just talking position of our hearts. That's all I'm addressing, the position of our hearts. And when or if that time comes that we need to change that, I will be the first one in line going... We're going to do it anyway, and not worried about the consequence because He told us to do it. So, amen. You guys receive that? I just set off all kinds of warnings and stuff because I'm sure I just said that online and they're like, he's in, yeah, anyway, whatever. I don't care. I'm blessed and happy to be here, and I'm glad to see all of you. I pray that today... I helped you set that ball on the tee, and you smack it out of the park. So set your hearts on Him. I want to pray for you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your desire is that we would be doing the will of the Father and bringing it to completion. whatever that may look like, whenever that may look like, without fear of being judged by men, or being whether that's being put in prison, or whether that's being looked at like you're not being successful, or whatever, whichever direction, whatever that may look like. God, we just want to do what you want us to do. We want to be successful in that. We don't want to find ourselves grumbling with frustration, but Lord, knowing in our hearts what you're doing and what you're saying, and not walking in a place of rebellion in our hearts, or a place of I'm going to do whatever I want to do, but I'm going to do whatever the Father tells me to do. I'm going to be honorable. I'm going to be a person of integrity and a person who generates love everywhere I go. I thank you that, Lord, our hearts are all really being set on you, that we are being set up in this time to rule from a place of rest instead of a place of constant activity and go, 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 and try, try, try. But Lord, you're calling us to establish the kingdom in a new way, in a place of reset and reorder and renew. And Lord, we just step into that place now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all so much. You are blessed and highly favored. Have a wonderful day. If you need prayer for anything, you're welcome to ask anyone you want to pray for you, and including me. I'll be glad to pray for you. But have a great day. See you next week.